Thank you, Pastors Phil and Carrie, for the privilege of being able to speak this morning. Thank you. And I'm very excited about what God is doing and how he's ministering. And we just have so much to look forward to. So grateful God is already moving in a profound way today as God is meeting people where they are. And it's amazing. The prophetic words this morning really preached my message already. But I feel like since I get a paycheck, I should earn my keep and probably preach anyway. But some of you going, just wrap it up. Let's just go home. I'll go ahead and share. I think anyway, I just love when God does that. And he says, here's what I'm doing. And I'm going to confirm it in a few different ways. And so I'm just grateful. And obviously the people bringing the prophetic word had no idea that they were preaching my message in the prophetic flow this morning already. I didn't even know for sure what I was going to be speaking this morning. They definitely didn't. And so here we go. I did prepare. I'm sort of joking. But it's just amazing how God moves. I love how he does that. So come, Lord Jesus, come. It's amazing. All right. Well, we got a beautiful day so far out here on the Palouse. Hasn't snowed yet. If you're a four seasons sort of person, you must have loved yesterday because we got all four in one day. It kind of felt like a little bit. Suzanne took this video. These couple videos are 5 hours apart is all. Check this out.
No place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
5 hours later.
Don't worry about a thing.
Oh. 5 hours. Isn't that amazing?
Gonna be all right.
Now, I know there are a lot of places where they say, hey, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute. But it really does happen around here. It's amazing. And people ask me sometimes, especially students, because I work with our college students, they say, when does the weather finally get reliably good? And I say, it's finals week, when you're supposed to be inside studying. And it's an attack right from the pits of hell to try to get you outside. And so we know that it's going to come in finals week. There's a plot. There's a plan there. All right. So anyway. So this morning, what I want to talk about, and in kind of in keeping with what we've been talking about as a church and going through, is the faith-filled fill-in-the-blank adventure. The faith-filled, there's a little blank there, adventure. And I continue to pray about this. It's been on my heart. And what is it that God's going to be doing, and what's ahead? And so we'll be talking about that some this morning. The weather is kind of fun. What happens, it kind of keeps us guessing a little bit. Even good things, good weather, like San Diego, I think they swing from 65 to 80, and right now that sounds really good. But even good things, they can become common, and they become kind of boring a little bit. I was talking to a guy at CCF on Friday who moved up here from California, and he said he was so glad to see snow, so glad it was cold. And someone else was saying, oh, wait till it's negative 26. That's what we had 3 years ago. He goes, bring it. I'm so tired of it being hot and all that. And it's just perspective is a big deal. And variety is part of the spice of life. And I think that God wants to bring in some variety into our journey of faith or a walk with him so it doesn't become monotonous as well. It's really important. So we mixed things up this last Sunday for Easter. What an incredible weekend that we had. All right. Yep. Incredible. Speaking of variety, it would have been really easy to just come in here and do the service in here. In fact, our team, some of our staff, a few weeks ago, we went outside and we were looking at the parking lot area out there, and we kind of measured some things out, and we're kind of wondering how many people really fit here. Was there kind of have some tape measures out and kind of look at the whole thing and the lay of the land and the way that, and we came in here and we realized essentially we were recreating our sanctuary out there. And so you can't help but think, why? Right? We go, what a beautiful church, you know, and why should we do that? But of course, God was moving and doing some stuff. Actually, Pastor Carrie was praying, and that was really on her heart. Let's do something different. Let's go out there where people will feel safe with the whole COVID thing and all that, and then mix it up. We're watching the weather, everything, and going, God, you know, help us. You know, we're all praying. We're like, Jesus, this is your party, okay? And so we're just trying to help you throw your party, all right? And so if you want to rain and snow, I guess you can do that. But why would you do that for your party? It's your party. Okay, just saying. It's not our, it's your party. And it's kind of like he's reminding us of that too. He goes, exactly. Okay, it's my party. All right. It'll rain if I want to. We're like, okay, well, could you not then, please? You know, it'd be really, really nice. What an amazing day it was. We kind of had a church family reunion, sort of, with over 500 people gathered together again out there and everything. There were some people that just drove by and went, whoa, okay, I'm there. Just pulled into the parking lot and joined us for church. Some people live up on the hill that kind of saw it getting set up and came down like it was just sort of this Sunnyside Hill kind of block neighborhood party kind of thing. And we had, what an amazing day in church. It always takes some work to do something different. We're an amazing team from setup all the way to cleanup, the planning, everything that happened. Amazing, amazing team. But without the work that goes involved and without taking a risk, without going, let's embrace some adventure here and everything, we would miss out on so much in life. We would be sitting here today going, gee, I wonder what would have happened if we'd done church outside last Sunday. I wonder if maybe more people would have come. The weather turned out to be pretty good. After all, maybe we should have done that. And if we don't embrace the risks that come along the way, we end up looking back in life and going, what if? What if? And it's so important that we take some risk and embrace some adventure that God has for us. Nothing worth doing is easy. And if we're going to move forward in life, we've got to take some risks. I'm so grateful to be part of a risk-taking leadership team and church that's going, let's see what our God will do. Let's just see what our God will do. Imagine if we hadn't taken the risk about 30 months ago to say, what if God will move and we can really settle the debt on this building? $2.7 million, ridiculous, you know? But some people step out in faith and move in a profound way. You were all part of it, making it happen. Through a pandemic with no major big donors, you know, there were no million-dollar checks and everything. It was just a bunch of people, the people of faith, the household of faith, going, we're going to make a dent in this a dollar at a time in a lot of cases. And with the grace of God, by the miracle that he works and everything, it's like he took loaves and fishes and did way more than we ever could have imagined doing on our own. We took a risk and look what God did. And instead of looking back and saying, what if, we look back and say, look what our God did. So my main scripture this morning is this, and a lot of us are familiar with this, but we're going to kind of unpack this and some other stuff in maybe a fresh way. It's James 2:26. If you wouldn't mind standing here for a moment, we'll read this together. Stand for the word of God. I love this. All right, together. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. It's so short. Let's do it one more time. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Amen. You can be seated. So of course, you want to dig into this and kind of unpack a little bit, go, what's it really saying here? And it's pretty fun when you look a word up in the Strong's Concordance, look at the original language, and all it means is what it says. And you're like, oh, I was looking for the hidden meaning, you know, and a lot of us have done that before and all that. But there's some really cool stuff here. I love it. I love the word of God. A body in the Greek, the word there for body, is soma. And it means the human body, but it also means the church body. This is really interesting. So as the human body, or the church body, okay, without breath, is dead, so also faith without works. It's really, really fascinating. It's got both of those inherent in there, the human body and the church body, all right? Spirit, the pneumato, okay? It's the breath. It's the spirit. So without the breath, without the spirit moving in it, okay? And if that's left the body, then the body's dead. The Greek word there, nekro, it means a corpse. It's pretty basic, fundamental sort of stuff. And then it says, so also faith, and this is the most common word for faith in the New Testament, pistis, it means trust or fidelity. Okay, so faith is really this built on a relationship, a trust relationship with God. It comes in proximity in relationship with Jesus. And then it says works, then are dead without that. The Greek word there, ergon, it means good deeds or actions, all right? So the church body, okay, is dead. It's done without the breath of the Spirit. And so it's saying, so then also faith or trust in God is dead without the good works that are supposed to come. Just like the human body is gone without the breath of God in it, so also faith or trust in God is dead without the good works, the actions that come. And this is really, really crazy stuff. So we often look at this and go, okay, so if I really have faith operating in me, then there's going to be the good deeds that follow. Absolutely, okay? But also, those good deeds are kind of the point. So if all we are people of faith, we just go, man, I believe in God, all right? And we go, so I've got that done. I prayed the sinner's prayer, so to speak. I accepted Jesus into my life. But then there aren't the good works that follow. Then it's saying, then is there faith there? There isn't faith there. We're not here to just pray that prayer, say, Jesus, I believe in you, and then watch the time pass by for 40 years until we go be with Jesus. If that was all it was about, he'd be saying, hey, great job, you prayed the prayer. Get up here. You know, it's done. But we have a mission, and we're here to do good works. And the human body isn't supposed to just be laying there on the couch, all right, either. All right, maybe a little bit this afternoon. It's totally fine, all right. But it's not our calling to just lay there, all right. It's time for a 40-year nap, all right. We're not Rip Van Winkle here in our church pews this morning. If our bodies aren't moving, we wonder what's wrong. If you see somebody, looks like they're injured, they're just kind of laying there, you're like, is that guy okay? Is that okay? In the same way, the church that's just laying there, not doing anything, you're like, call EMS, somebody call 911, there's a problem. Because if the church isn't moving the way that it's supposed to move, there's an issue. That church is dead, is what the scripture is saying. So God is calling us, I believe, to action. I think part of this faith-filled adventure he has in front of us is being awakened in us through our whole commission campaign. It's so much fun, and he's given us a glimpse of this whole thing. So as I'm praying, and I'm going, God, what is it that you want to do in me, in my family, in the ministry that we're part of, in the business that we're part of, in our church? What is it that you want to do? He's putting on a couple things really in my heart, okay, that I want to share with you this morning, all right? Now, I want to, as we look at that, I want to give you a little glimpse of the mess that this is for me a little bit, okay? So a little secret. I've got a few secrets I might share this morning. The first one is this, all right? And I really am hesitant to share this because I might get some negative feedback after service, and I'm serious. The first is this. I am going to miss 2020. Not all of it, okay? Not all of it, okay? Not definitely not all of it, okay? But I'm going to miss 2020. And what happened in us through the 2020 campaign? I talked about that just a little bit ago. But we stepped out in faith as a family and as a church, and we saw God move in miraculous ways. We took risks we never even dreamed that we'd ever take. It put us in a position of saying, we need to see God move. God, if you don't move, and this is done, it's over, whatever. And that brought a lot of that together. We ended up in this really needy place. And I miss that. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to look back fondly at those things. Again, not all of 2020, but that stuff. I suppose it'd be sort of like Israel leaving Egypt, okay? And as they're going through what they're going through, it wasn't comfortable, it's pretty awkward, pretty difficult, all right? And challenged, but I'm sure they look back and said, oh, I'm going to miss that. Not in the moment, okay? But looking back. So they had the plagues. Oh, thank you, God, for the plagues. This is amazing, you know? It stinks, you know, everything's a rot, all this stuff. Finally, they leave Egypt, away they go, and then they're trying to escape. They get to the Red Sea, and like, we're kind of stuck here. Here comes Pharaoh's army, and there's probably nobody going, this is so fun, you know, this is so exciting. You know, I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. The people are grumbling. Moses is grumbling. What do I do with your people? I love how Moses and God back and forth through the whole interchange are going. It's kind of like Suzanne and me. Honey, take care of your children. Yeah. And then later she's like, honey, your kids are here. You know, you kind of see that happen. And Moses and God are sort of like husband and wife going, God, what are you going to do about your children? And then God a little while later says, Moses, I'm frustrated at your kids. All right, it's time to get things together. And he's like, wait a sec, whose kids are out? But they go back and forth. Moses is frustrated. He's kind of grumbling. The people are grumbling. Here comes the army. We're stuck there here at the Red Sea. And then God does this amazing miracle, and they start walking through it. They start walking through, and they're watching this whole thing. We just can't even imagine what that would have been like. But they're going, okay, we got to get going. We better hurry. All right, they're not going to be held back forever. You know, here we go. And so they come through out the other side. The water drowns the Egyptians. I mean, their enemies are left behind, and they're going, whoa, this is amazing. In these miracles, and they kept happening in front of them. So they look back. They look back, and they're able to say, that was incredible. Look what our God did. And without that, they would have just stayed in bondage. Would have stayed in bondage in Egypt. But God was bringing a great deliverance, a great salvation. And so I look back now at 2020 with fondness. It wasn't fun at the time. But fondness, and go, look what our God did. And Israel raised Ebenezer. They raised these monuments, these stones. They go, we're never going to forget what God did. And they did forget, okay? But they're going, we've got to remember this. We've got to tell these stories to our children, to our children's children. This has got to be passed on. And so in the same way, God is doing crazy, amazing things. And I don't think it's done. I think he's given us a taste of what's ahead, and he wants us to move forward. So the Christian life, I believe, is supposed to be, of course, I think we'll all agree, a life of faith. The Christian life is supposed to be a life of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead, all those things. Christian life is supposed to be a life of faith. A life of faith means that it's going to require then risk. Christian life is a life of faith. A life of faith is going to be a life of risk, but a life of risk becomes a life of adventure. And we've seen that happen over and over and over again. If we're going to see the move of God, we're going to have to take some risks. We're going to have to be vulnerable, and we're going to have to say, God, we need you to move. It's not always going to go perfectly, but God will always be there, and he'll see us through. Brings me to my second secret. This last Sunday, Easter Sunday, I got to be involved in a lot of the music and stuff that was happening. It was really fun, and it all went really well, except right after worship, Jacob Much comes up to me, sound guy, and he kind of whispers to me, making sure the mics are off and everything. He's like, Pastor Joe, your fly is down. A little more vulnerable than I wanted to be this morning in worship, you know. And so when that happens, then you start going, you're going through the motions that you did during worship and everything. And you're kind of going, how did that all go? All that stuff and everything. And you just, but I've been through that stuff before a little bit. And you just laugh and go, God, I don't know why there'd ever be room for pride in my life, but you just keep making sure it's not going to go too far, you know, too far. You know, and Suzanne's really supportive, but she's back looking at the recording going, you know, do we need to delete, you know, edit it, people, edit it, you know, whatever. But it wasn't too bad, praise God. So if we're going to step out to see God do anything, it's going to involve some risk. It's going to involve some vulnerability. It's not always going to go perfectly well, but our God will never fail us. It's going to be amazing. A life without risk is too risky. There's your P. Joe quote for the morning. We think we're safe from risk sometimes by doing nothing. That is its own risk. And it is a worse risk, especially if we understand that God is calling us to something. A life without risk is too risky. We can't live that way. A few quotes about risk. Take the risk or lose the chance. They don't just keep coming back. Opportunity comes and God brings it right in his plan and everything. And if we don't take the risk, we may lose the chance. The God-ordained moment, we're going, God, move, God, move. And then when he moves, we go, okay, that's not what I meant. All right, could you move in a way that's a little more comfortable for me, please? He goes, oh, I thought you wanted a miracle. So did I. But maybe I'm changing my mind a little bit. That's a little bit too much. Take the risk or lose the chance. Next one. If you want it, go for it. Take a risk. Don't always play it safe or you'll die wondering. If we play it safe, we'll die wondering. So glad we didn't play it safe last weekend. So glad we didn't play it safe in the 2020 campaign. So glad we got to see God move. Next one, great things never came from comfort zones. Never, never. And I just really pushed myself out of my comfort zone, backwards, more into my comfort zone, and I saw amazing things happen. You never hear anybody say that. Great things never come from our comfort zones. And the last, better an oops than a what if. Better an oops than a what if. The small mistakes that happen along the way are generally way less a tragedy than the what if looking back, saying, I wish I'd done it differently, all right? So look ahead, these three things are on my heart, and this one I hit this morning, all right? It's big time in my guts. I believe we've got these three things, a faith-filled outreach adventure, a faith-filled church adventure, and a faith-filled Jesus adventure, come to Jesus adventure ahead of us. I'm gonna touch on those three today, all right? First, a faith-filled outreach adventure. Commission has been so fun, and we're hearing the praise reports. It's absolutely amazing. We've been doing that as a family and kind of sprinkling it in here and there. The Getz family decided we are going to just kind of go for it, and they went crazy as a family and just did this, and we had a little video here, a little highlight of some time they had as a family.
Here we are with the family doing a little commission, a little outreach culture, and we're having a good time. We're going to take some flowers to a friend, and we're going to go take some coffee to a friend, have a dinner with a friend. We're going to do all kinds of fun stuff. We're enjoying ourselves as a family. Go Outreach
so
Culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go left.
Woo-hoo.
Awesome. Awesome. It's cool. And correct me if I'm wrong, Trent, you guys did the whole card that afternoon, right? That an evening? Almost. Okay. that just about got a blackout, I guess is what we call it, that one. And it's amazing. Now, in case you haven't picked up on it, again, all this really is an opportunity for us to be reminded of the things that we want to do and should be doing. The reason it's called commissioned and not church bingo is because it's what we're commissioned to do. It's an opportunity for us to be reminded over and over again that we've got the great commission in front of us. And if we don't step out on that, we're not going to know the great adventure that God has for us. We have a faith-filled adventure in front of us in the outreach side of things right now that God's bringing up again and again and again. I love it. And as we finish retiring this mortgage, we're shooting for the end of this month to finish this all up. Mm-hmm. As we do that, it's not so that this place can become a museum. It's not so that this building can become a clubhouse. It's like, great, it's paid for. We don't need any more donors. Lock the doors, all right? Let's not let it be met. We're called to fulfill the Great Commission, and we're going to be free from some of the struggle and the issues that have come with the 25 years of debt to go, let's go do greater things, the greater freedom. Our God has done amazing things. He's moved in miraculous ways. It's time to rise up in greater freedom than ever before and let the church be the church. You know, we talked a while ago about the campaign, and we talked about all the different kind of ideas that you could have. And we're like, do we get the little pavers and you put people's name on them? Do we get a wall, people's name on them for anybody that donates over, you know, whatever dollars? I don't know, you know, and we make the little wall thing. And all, we talked about some of that stuff and we prayed through it and we decided, you know, we don't believe this is supposed to be a monument to anybody. Anybody. We're not, this isn't about like, look what so-and-so did. It's supposed to be about, look what our God did. And we want to be Gideon's army that goes, we don't have a chance without God. All right. That victory was not a monument to Gideon. It was a monument to the greatness of the living God, bringing the victory that only he could bring. And so let only the name of Jesus be honored, praised, and lifted up through what it is that he has done and is still to do. We're supposed to embrace this as a church. I love it. We've got so much ahead of us. It's incredible. So Jude 1:20-23 speaks to this, all right? It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord. I love it. I love it. Of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. There's a very, very proactive portion of Scripture, snatching people from the flames, all right? Part of the Great Commission is this very active thing and that we're called to. I think it's important that we really understand that. This isn't just a passive thing. And God's trying to bring this, I believe, to a head for us as a church. Our family, we were really blessed over spring break. It's something that we've been planning to do a long, long time and saving for forever and all that stuff. But we went as a family, all six of us, to Maui, all right? It was crazy. It was amazing. And just kind of, I mean, you know, speaking of the 2020 campaign, I'm like, how on earth are we doing that? But again, we've been saving grandpa money and all that stuff forever. And so we're able to go. It was incredible. Flights were crazy cheap because nobody was going at the time and all that stuff too. And we had some amazing deals, all that. It was amazing. What a blessing and all that. But while we were there, it was we had some pretty interesting experiences. And one of the things that we wanted to do, because our kids love like the Oregon coast, is actually be in warm water, okay, and not get hypothermic, right? And all that. So it was cool. So we rented some boogie boards for the week, and we went to this beach, Fleming Beach. This park is one of the only beaches where they actually have lifeguards. We thought it'd be good to have lifeguards, maybe because we're rookies. We have no idea what we're doing, and we want to take our children home with us and all that stuff. So. Lifeguards, great. And so we're out there boogie boarding, and we had a great time. And they had, you know, probably like 3-foot waves were boogie boarding on. It was amazing. And so we did that, and then we're going, let's go back the next day. This place is amazing. And we didn't know this, but a storm kind of came up. And so we got there, and there was like nobody there. At first, we're like, yay, there's nobody here. And then we got out there, and we realized why. There were 12-foot waves, okay? 12-foot waves, and this rip current that would pull you right back out. So we're like standing there going, whoa. And the lifeguard's on the scene. He's like, please do not go in the water, you know, and all this stuff. And so I'm going, well, this is an educational opportunity. You know, kids, here's what's happening. There's this rip, you know, whatever. And so we don't want to do that and all that. Well, so we're watching. And this guy is out there kind of getting in the water a little bit. And they're like, please get out of the water. You know, and this guy gets farther and farther in the water. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, this guy's in trouble. So Suzanne started recording and everything, right, you know, which is which moms do, okay? They have to make sure we have all this stuff, you know, ready for family history and all this stuff. So she's recording this and everything. And so this guy is out there, and he starts getting swept out. And you realize he's in trouble. This guy's in trouble. And these big waves are coming, and he's just getting pulled out farther and farther. And so all of a sudden, the lifeguard runs out of the shack. You know, we're like, here he comes. This is crazy. You know, what's going to happen? And he's got his flippers, okay? And he's got the floaty thing. I don't know what the floaty thing's called. Or he's got the floaty thing. And on the rope, okay? And so he runs out there. And you can see in his attitude, okay? I'm serious. You can just tell in his bearing. He's like, stupid tourist. All right? He does 100% his attitude in this whole thing. He's like, throws his flippers down, puts them on, all right? And jumps in the water, just dives into the first wave coming, and goes out and gets this guy and brings him back in, you know. And so he like kind of dumps the guy in the sand and kind of walks back up, you know, toward the ship, you know. And we're like, first responders, anybody have a card? First responder, we gotta, you know, give. What do you, if you're coming to Pullman, come to church. So we're, but why this whole thing is amazing. And then I'm going like a good dad. I'm like, further educational opportunity. I'm like, kids, we're gonna go talk to the guy, okay. So we're over to this guy that almost died, all right? And he's like hyperventilating. He's like, he almost died. And I think I said that four times now. And he's like, he's having trouble talking. And I said, man, can you tell us what happened? You know, we don't get all this. And we just, you know, what's going on? He's like, man, I was just out there swimming. And I'll, you know, kind of just, you know, had the water up here, whatever. That wave hits. All of a sudden, my feet couldn't touch the ground anymore. And I'm like, oh, I'll be okay. I got to swim back. And he realized I couldn't. I'm getting more and more tired, you know, so I kind of just raised my hand hoping they could see that I was in trouble, and he comes out there and just brings me in, and we're going, that's just incredible. So I talked to kids a little bit. I'm like, okay, so you don't want to die like that, okay, right? You know, like, he almost died. I think that's the fifth time I said, you know, but it's a big deal. It was crazy, all right? It was really cool to talk to him. But I'm processing this whole thing, and I'm just going, and we're standing here going, wow, you know, we shouldn't even get our feet in that thing, okay? And the lifeguard guy comes out with this attitude like, stupid tourist. And he goes out there and goes in what will kill us and drags the guy out, dumps him on the sand and like, you know, whatever, and all that. I'm going, this guy's operating on an entirely different level than we are, okay? This thing will destroy us. And he's just like frustrated. They even had the wave runner there and it wasn't even worth getting the wave runner out. He's like, you know, I mean, that would have been kind of fun. You know, whatever. He's like, it's not worth the gas. I'll just go get the guy, you know, whatever. And you know, right? And you realize there's a whole different world this guy operates in. In fact, January, 2 months before we were there, I think Catherine's got this video, some guy set the record not far from that beach for the biggest wave ever surfed. Look at this. Look at that. And it just makes me tremble, you know. It's a 100-foot wave. All right. 100-foot wave. He's getting toward the end. It's getting smaller now. But when he first started out there, it's 100 feet. And they're pulling it back in. So we went past that beach. The waves were smaller that day as we were going by and everything. But that's where we went past there where the 100-foot waves are going on. And he's out there surfing that. At the end of the video, he's like, oh, it's a great day out there. It's amazing and all that. And I'm going, we can't handle the 12-footers. And this guy's like, yes, 112-footers, you know. And again, you realize there's a whole different level of understanding here. It's a whole different thing that's going on. And I did a little research on this, and these guys, they do some breath hold training. They want to be able to hold their breath for 5 minutes. Because if you get sucked into a 112-foot wave, you might be under for 3, 4, 5 minutes. Whole different thing. So I was challenged. Where am I at? And as I'm evaluating all this, and God's speaking to me, He's, where are you at in your faith? Are you just, you know, chilling in the sun on the beach, which is okay. That's fine. Okay. But what am I called to? Or am I out there kind of, you know, in the four footers and just having a little fun, whatever? Do I know what it means, not necessarily to surf a 112 footer, but to be able to rescue somebody who's in over their head and can't handle it, and it's over if they don't? That's the reality of the world around us, and we just forget it. And so, sometimes we don't even understand this until we're there and we're watching people in these waves and see what's going on. We go, oh yeah, this is the reality of it. And we've got to get out in the world a little bit more again in the midst of a call to a fresh outreach culture and go, oh yeah, This is the reality of what's happening around us. People's lives are at stake. And God has equipped us to be able to throw on our flippers, dive in, and pull somebody out. And just pull somebody out. That's what he's called us to. That's our call. That's what we're commissioned to as a church. Am I a snoozer, a surfer, or a lifesaver? I believe he's calling us to something greater. It's time for a faith-filled outreach adventure. And if you haven't begun that yet in the commissioned scheme and everything, I really encourage you to do that. It is amazing. Second, a faith-filled church adventure. A faith-filled church adventure. You got the scripture in Ephesians. I want to move to the end of it. And here's what Jesus says starting in verse 16. Or speaking of Jesus and what he does, as Paul's laying this out, talks about Christ doing this in his church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. And this is beautiful. Look at this progression here. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what Jesus does. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its thing. Then the whole body grows. It's healthy. It's growing and it's full of love. It's so fun again on Sunday, Easter Sunday, to see more of the church gathered together. And as we can and we can do it safely, man, we've got to do that. We need to gather together. And when we can and you can be part of that, it's so important that we do that. He makes the body fit together perfectly. It's the work of God. It's the heart of Jesus and what he wants to do. And sometimes I think in church, and I've been here before, just to be honest, and a little secret here, okay? Sometimes I'm like, okay, if I'm the left pinky, okay, and I look at the guy sitting next to me, I'm like, I hope he's like the right toe down there somewhere. I want to be like a palm, an arm, a torso, a leg, and maybe a foot away from that. You know, sometimes we go, I don't know if I'm really getting along with that person. But the truth is, if we only surround ourselves with people like us, we're stuck in a pond that won't grow. We're stuck in this little pond that's not going to grow. I can't imagine life now without some of the people that I thought, I'm not going to get along with them. And it turns out, because we love Jesus and we're called to what God has called us to, we have way more in common than people that look like me and like some of the surfacey sort of things that I like, whatever. My life is so much richer for taking the risks and relationship that I've taken. And I know that a lot of people have taken a lot of risks in moving into relationship in my life, in my life. And thank you for your patience and your grace and mercy. You know, there's people going, if that guy could stay on that side of the sanctuary, I'll go, he's using that bathroom, I'm using the one on the other side. You know, we've all been through that a little bit. We miss out, though, on what God has for us. And I believe he's got so much in front of us as a church. It's time for us to go, what is the church adventure? What is the faithful church adventure that God has for me again? We've kind of had a little bit of a time out with the COVID thing. Time to get this whole thing going again. We're here to help the other parts grow. We're here to help each other grow. We're here to grow. They're here to help us grow. But it'll never happen if we are just set apart on our own, if we're isolated, if we're going, that's too much work. It's just a hassle. We've got to rub shoulders with each other. If we aren't close enough to be bothered by each other, we aren't close enough to be blessed by each other. It's a simple reality. If I'm not close enough to be bothered by you, then I'm not close enough to be blessed by you. We can't have it both ways. We can't, and we will rob ourselves and each other of the blessing that God has for us if we are isolated from each other. It's time to take a risk. What does it look like? Join a small group. Sit next to someone different next Sunday, maybe. Talk to somebody after service today that you haven't talked to before. Help someone. Have someone over for dinner, like we talked about. Find a place to serve in church. And watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. The last one is this. I believe he's calling us to a faith-filled come to Jesus adventure. Amen. A faith-filled come to Jesus adventure. I saw this scripture through new eyes. It's amazing. I love when God does that. I go, man, I've read this a lot of times. And all of a sudden, wham, slap me right upside the spiritual face and wake me up. It's amazing. Check this out. Another passage of scripture a lot of us are familiar with. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. Okay, they're out there in their boat, right? For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to be fighting heavy waves at 3 a.m. How about you? I'm like, I'll be in bed there. It'd be great. About 3 o'clock in the morning, though, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost. We thought it was bad. It's getting worse. Now the ghosts are attacking us." Here we go. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I'm here. I am here. Okay. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. I don't know. I wonder what it sounded like, you know. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong waves, and the wind and the waves, sorry, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, he said. Why did you doubt me? There's memes that go around about this. I think Catherine's got one. Got this dog, all right? This is Peter taking his eyes off Jesus. So the dog's like, hey, what's up? Yeah, boom, boom. Oh, there's a pool there. Okay, you know. And now I'm not looking out there anymore, right? It happens. I think that if as I look at the scripture, I was really kind of blown away because I think that I'm kind of cynical sometimes towards Peter. I'm like, dude, get your emotions in check, you know, whatever. And so, and I question his motives sometimes. And I think that you know, if I was writing this down, like trying to, if I was in prison, I didn't have a Bible, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to write this down. I would rewrite this kind of laced with some cynicism. Maybe like, and so Peter recognizes the opportunity to do something cool. He's like, hey, Jesus, can I walk on the water too? You know? And you were kind of going, you know, and Jesus says, okay, you know? And you're kind of going, well, why didn't he just say, and all the disciples, you guys jump out of the boat too. We're gonna have a walk on water party, you know? And he's gonna get the sound system in the boat going a little bit and they'll all be out there. You know, they're not just walking around, they're dancing on the water or whatever. You know, and I just kind of go, Peter just wanted to do the cool things and he really kind of lost sight of what's really going on. But this actually, you know, like once again, I realize I'm off here. Because the interaction here is totally different than that. Peter says, Jesus, if it's really you, command me to come to you out on the water. And Jesus didn't say to him, walk on the water. It's your time. You know, you want it? Here we go. Peter, walk. He said, come. And so we don't know 100% what Peter's motives were there and everything, but I think there's a lot of insight here because it says when he took his eyes off Jesus, he was focused on Jesus. When he took his eyes off him, then he sinks. Then he sinks, which we know that. But I'm more and more convinced that his motive was to get to Jesus. And maybe the rest of the disciples are sitting there going, oh, it's Jesus. I hope he gets here quickly. Or I hope the wind blows the boat over to him quickly. And Peter's going, I know how I can get to Jesus quickly. If he lets me come and walk in the water, I'm there. That's the fastest way to make this happen. And instead of like, oh, wind, blow me to Jesus. You know, I've got my natural thinking and I've got my methods that are going to keep me safe. And I hope that it gets me to Jesus, or I hope Jesus gets me there. And that's what was prophesied this morning. Steve Stone, at the end of all this, is God was speaking through him. He said, I'm not going to meet you where you are. I'm going to meet you where I'm calling you to. I'm going to meet you where I'm calling you to. And I was just like, what? Because he's saying to Peter, I'm going to meet you where I'm calling you to. I'm not going to meet you in the boat. I'm calling you out of it. I'm calling you beyond it. Would you step out? And as further confirmation to maybe what Peter was going through, remember, those of us that have read it before, after the resurrection, shortly after, because the disciples still don't know a lot of what's going on. They're like, the Jesus thing is over. It was a great thing for 3.5 years. He's dead. We're done. Let's go fishing. So they're in a boat and they're fishing and they see this guy. They're like, hey, and he goes, hey, this guy, who is this? He says, throw your nets on that side of what they do. They catch the fish. They're like, what? And Peter recognizes this is Jesus. All right. And they're in this boat. And so what does he do? He rows the boat over to Jesus. No. He takes off his outer garment, so he still has garments on, okay? I would have given this more than a second thought. So he takes his, he jumps in the water, fully clothed, except for the outer garment, and swims to Jesus. He was passionate about getting to Jesus. He goes, I'll walk on it if he'll let me. I'll swim through it if I have to. But I'm getting to Jesus. I'm getting to Jesus. And I just basically had to repent. I'm like, Peter, I'm sorry. If you can hear me up there somewhere, you know. You just wanted Jesus. Just wanted Jesus. And if I'm wet all day, because I'm diving in to get to him, so be it. So be it. Believe he's calling us to a fresh, faith-filled, come to Jesus adventure. When's the last time we took a risk to get to Jesus? What does that even look like? Pastor Phil has spoken of us having a time and a place. Do we have that? We're taking walks with Jesus, times of prayer and fasting. We're like, no, thank you. Are there other ways, right? A new devotional maybe. Maybe some mentoring by someone who really knows what relationship with Jesus is all about. Tell me about the Jesus that you know. Tell me about the Jesus you know. Can you introduce him to me more thoroughly, more radically? A quote from Joe Campbell. He says, without passion, men are not willing to pay any price or bear any burden to set the captives free. And that passion will always come in the presence of Jesus. That's where the passion to fulfill our great commission will come. And it's the only thing that will keep us where we're supposed to be, this running after him. It's time for a faith-filled come to Jesus adventure, church. Jesus, do it. Draw us near. God, let us be audacious. The circumstances mean nothing to you. We ask that you would draw us to yourself. Whether we're walking on the water or swimming through it, God, let a passion for your presence consume us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.